The number of data breaches worldwide rises every year, going up by 211% from 2023 to 2024, due mainly to five mega breaches. Scams, identity theft, they all start with your personal data being exposed across various websites. It's on people search sites, in data broker databases, shady directories, AI answers, and even search results. That's the part most people don't see. Their home address, phone number, email accounts, and social security number aren't just leaked. They're being actively bought and sold by bad actors. But you can protect yourself now with Incogni. Incogni tracks down and removes your personal data from multiple sites, including online directories, people search sites, and even commercial databases. The Incogni process is fully automated for hundreds of known data brokers, companies that collect and sell your data without your consent. The categories of data brokers Incogni covers include marketing, recruitment, health information, risk mitigation, financial information, and people search sites. With Incogni, you can protect your privacy in three easy steps. Remember, they can't harm you if they can't find you. So, take back your personal data with Incogni. Use code INVESTTALK to get 60% off annual plans. Go to incogni.com/investtalk. You can also find the link in the episode description.
On radio, on YouTube, streaming live on investtalk.com, and for our podcast subscribers, this is InvestTalk. Independent thinking, shared success. InvestTalk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. Here is KPP Financial Chief Executive Officer, Financial Advisor Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, fellow investors, and welcome back to InvestTalk. This is our Monday, December 15th, 2025 edition of InvestTalk, and we are hurling very fast towards Christmas and the New Year, just a couple more trading weeks in 2025, and that means we are now looking forward, and you should always be. Investing is about looking through the windshield, not the rearview mirror. And we can talk about 2025. And there was a lot of interesting things to talk about. But 2026 and how it unfolds matters a lot more. So in this episode, we will be touching on where we are today in the broader economy and what direction things are moving in for next year. So we have a lot of topics on the docket, but most importantly will be the topics you bring to us. Always. Number one is what is on your mind. And we take your calls 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, but we love your live calls as well. The number is always 888-99-CHART. So if you have a question right now, any time of the day or the week, you can call us. Okay? 888-99-CHART. That's the number. We'll also bring you some topics and some data that we think will be important to your financial journey. But ultimately, this is about you and what's on your mind. Now, quick heads up, something new. The first ever InvestTalk holiday special is coming out December 18th. It's this Thursday, exclusively on our YouTube channel. It's going to be fun. End of year episode where we look back at the biggest market themes for 2025. Highlight a few lessons we're carrying into 2026. We choose the caller question of the year, plus a couple of surprises you won't get in our regular format. So I encourage you to head over to YouTube channel, subscribe, hit the bell so that when we do post it, you are notified. Okay, so that's once again, that's InvestTalk with two T's. So don't miss out on the holiday special on December 18th. Now, just a bit, we'll talk about today's market performance and run down the show topics. But as usual, we'll tackle this caller question now.
Hey, can I have your opinion on buying this ETF for a long-term investment? FIW. FIW. Thank you so much. Bye.
I'm looking at First Trust Water ETF. And, you know, these thematic ETFs are always kind of interesting. People want to gain access to something that, you know, feels good to them, feels like a theme that makes sense. And if you want broad exposure to that theme, you know, a lot of these can make sense for you. However, you know, there's cost to it. That's the issue, is that there's consistent costs that, you know, you're not really getting a whole lot from a lot of these thematic ETFs that you can't just do yourselves. You can go look at the individual names, you can do your own research, etc. But if you don't want to do that, well, then buying one of these names, it makes sense. But your expense ratio is 51 basis points, 0.51%. And here's one of the issues that most people don't realize with any ETFs or mutual funds. You're not seeing that fee, but you are getting charged that fee every single day that you are in that fund. You just don't see it. It comes out of the NAV, the net asset value. So just be aware of that. Whether that's you buying it, whether it's your advisor buying it, whoever's owning it is paying that fee. Now, this one is 57% industrials, 14% healthcare, 14% utilities, 7% technology, 2% consumer defensive, and 5% basic materials. So overall, I like some of the names in here. But once again, am I going to pay 51 basis points for a name that I can just do a little research myself and get around that fee? Probably not. But once again, if you just want to be kind of passive, forget about it, invest in a theme that I think in general is pretty good. It's not the one thing I do like about it, it's not super trendy right now. I hate the trendy sector ETFs or thematic ETFs, shall we say, or anything right now that would be AI robotics, for example, would be very trendy, very sexy, but probably you're buying in at overvalued levels. For this, I like industrials, and it's the highest weighting in this particular ETF. So I'm all okay with it, but I'm not in love with it either because of that 51 basis point expense ratio. We have a lot of ground to cover over the next 45 minutes or so. And if we have time, we'll get to it all. And our main focus point is about global divergences. Global divergences, the U.S. shrinks, Germany sputters, and U.S. PMIs hump. So has the cleanest dirty shirt just pulled even further ahead? So we'll talk about some of the economic data that we have seen around the world and see which economies are the most resilient. Okay. Other topics, we'll look at transport stocks. Transport stocks, the Dow theory. Remember the Dow theory? What happens with the Dow and the Dow Transportation Index compared to the broader Dow is certainly an age-old question in Wall Street terms. And there's a recent trend emerging. So we'll look at that trend and what that means for broader markets. In addition, the Fed, it's now doing QE. I know it's not going to call it QE. It's going to call it something else. But at the end of the day, it is supporting the treasury market. Now, what does that mean for financial institutions and especially those banks, commercial banks, regional banks, etc.? So we'll look at that topic as well. And then lastly, if we have time, we'll talk about the outgoing SEC regulator who is not a huge fan of the direction that the commission is going and worries that the lack of oversight is creating undue risk in the financial system. So we'll look at that if we have time. We also have voice bank calls. One is on options and capital gains. And the other is on Contango or Inc., CTGO. So we'll get to those questions as well as the ones submitted via the comment section over on the Invest Talk YouTube channel as well. And most importantly, will be your calls, your live calls, 888-99-CHART. That's how you get through and ask your question on today's show. But we're going to head to a break. Please remember you can call anytime and leave your question on the Invest Talk Voice Bank. If you're listening via our live stream or on AM 1220 in the Bay Area, you can call right now at 888-99-CHART. Hang on, because I will be talking about today's market activity in the next segment.
For the holidays, KPP Financial is excited to introduce a high-value, limited-time offer, the Holiday Estate Bundle. It's specifically designed to help new households quickly establish a solid foundation for their financial and personal legacies before the year ends. When you begin a financial relationship with KPP Financial and complete your onboarding by December 31st, 2025, you'll receive essential estate planning documents as an added benefit. And it's all powered by our trusted partner, Trust and Will. Learn more about the Holiday Estate Bundle now at investtalk.com. And while you're there, fill out a portfolio review to get started. And now the phone lines are open and waiting for your finance and investment questions. 888-99-CHART. In the early days, InvestTalk was Jerry Klein and Steve Peasley. Now the torch has been passed and a new generation of hosts is on the job. Justin Klein and Luke Guerrero. So when you've got finance and investment questions, don't forget to call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART.
8899-CHART, 8899-2427. That's how you get through and ask your question on today's show. Now let's take a quick look at the market today. And overall, it was red, but not in a major way, except if you're looking at the NASDAQ or growth stocks in general. You had names like Broadcom down 5.5% on the day. Apple and Microsoft and Amazon down 1.6%. NVIDIA did eke out a gain as well as Tesla, but that was really where the concentration in losses were, is the growth side of the market. Growth underperformed value by about 29 basis points today, which is a pretty decent spread. And you had the S&P down only 11 points, so 0.16%, pretty minor. Same with the Dow, only down 41 points, down 0.09% for the day. So not really a whole lot. Overall, the broader markets didn't move too much, but you definitely, like I said, had some weakness out of the tech side of the market. On the economic front, you had retail sales. Didn't have retail sales. That's tomorrow. The only real big news was the housing market index, and that came in at 39. And, you know, that was only a tick higher from last month. So the housing market remains relatively in the doldrums. What else moved? The curve steepened a bit. So you saw the long end up a little bit and the short end down a little bit. Dollar index is down 0.1%. The yen strengthened again on expected Bank of Japan tightening this week. Gold ended up 0.2%, although it was off its best levels. Bitcoin off 4.8%. This is one of those ones I keep saying it's kind of the canary in the coal mine. And the fact that the bounce in Bitcoin was pretty meager. On the 21st, it hit a low around 81,000? 21st of October, sorry, November. So nearly a month ago now. And we never recaptured even the 95 level. We had recaptured the 100 level for this downtrend trend to end. And now we've rolled back over with a recent high around 94. What's this? 94 and change. Now we're at 86 and change. Pushing back towards that 81,000 level. And obviously, there's a lot of correlation between Bitcoin and anything tech related. And so the fact that the market continues to rotate out of the names that have powered the market higher, the AI names that have powered the market higher, is certainly hitting Bitcoin itself. Because these people that own these assets, a lot of them are levered. If one goes down, they have to reduce their leverage and they have to unwind positions elsewhere. That's kind of how this correlation has built up, as so many people are in the same type of trade. And so the trend continues as we push towards 2026. And usually the trends for 2020, or at least the following year, begin near the end of the fourth quarter of the previous year. And that's what you are starting to see. And if you caught my live stream, that's something I'm going to start doing a bit more, which are live streams on Saturday mornings on our YouTube channel. Another reason for you guys to go over there, subscribe, and tune in is going over the market, kind of deep dive, economics, charts, all of it, kind of my understanding or my viewpoint of what's going on in the market today. And a lot of people love it. So we're doing a little more live streams to get some questions, and my hope is to build that up a little bit. So be on the lookout for that every Saturday morning. But the bottom line here is that the market is rotating, it's shifting as we have new policy ahead. 8899 chart, 8892-4278 is how you get through and ask your question live on today's show. But before we get to the next segment, we'll answer a caller question that came in via that YouTube channel. And the comment from Ulam Spiral says, "Thanks, I'm enjoying this weekend video a lot. Do you have any views on residential real estate in the Bay Area? I'm looking to buy a house, but I'm worried there's a correction coming soon." The simple answer is yes. I would be worried about a potential drop in Bay Area real estate. It's very correlated to tech, and it was rolling pretty hard for kind of 2023, 2024, and then you had the AI kind of resurgence that started near the end of last year and into this year. And I think that kind of held the Bay Area economy together. But if you start to see some sort of reduction in interest around big tech, and obviously I've discussed how the business of big tech is suddenly becoming very capital intensive. Does that mean less room for stock options, for employees, et cetera? I think that could be a big factor here, and that would feed into residential real estate, especially in Silicon Valley. So I think in general, you just have overvaluation across most markets in the United States, and you're entering probably 2026 will be a year where prices broadly will come down. Now, it's going to be dramatic. It's going to be 08 crash in housing. No, it's just a multi-year correction. And I think it's already started, and it's just going to be a slow slog, not a lot of transactions, and modest declines for a number of years in most markets, including the Bay Area. That's my take on that. And we're going to a break. My focus point is coming up next about global divergences that are emerging. But give me a call now at 888-99-CHART.
Here's a quick heads up and an invitation. This year, KPP Financial is doing something new. The first ever Invest Talk holiday special. And it drops December 18th exclusively on the Invest Talk YouTube channel. To watch the Invest Talk holiday special, head over to YouTube and search Invest Talk with two T's. And while you're there, subscribe and hit the bell.
Now, our main focus point on Invest Talk today is about global divergences, and has the cleanest dirty shirt just gotten a bit dirtier? And that's what you are seeing when you're looking at the latest report coming out of S&P Global. It's their composite PMI output index, and it's pretty interesting. When you dig into the details, it covers manufacturing and services across 40 economies. Overall, it edged down from 53 in October to 52.7 in November. Now, it still registered the third strongest monthly expansion over the past 15 months. So it's just it's coming off of a strong base. So that's the positive here. And this is broadly consistent with global annualized growth around 3% in the fourth quarter. Now, pre-pandemic, you saw average growth was around 3.1%. So pretty good. You know, global growth is relatively fine. However, things change depending on whether you're what country you're talking about, what economy you're talking about. Here in the United States, expansion is cooling. It's the second weakest month for growth since June. So not great here domestically. So our cleanest dirty shirt that's been for in a while, or it's been in a while, is getting a bit dirtier, as I said. Same with Canada. Canada's business activity is in a downturn as well. And then you look at the UK. The UK has slowed as well, a very mild pace of expansion over there. But if you look at other developed countries, especially in Europe, they are doing much better. The Eurozone growth accelerated to the fastest pace since May of 2023. It's one reason why you're seeing the euro continuing to gain strength, because they're even thinking about raising interest rates due to the strength of their economy. And we are obviously easing policy and our economy is getting weaker. And so naturally that currency is strengthening. Now, manufacturing in the eurozone is not that great, but you're getting services. Service side of the economy is doing well. Spain is the star performer, doing even better than countries like Germany and Italy, who are starting to see expansion as well. And then France returned to growth for the first time since August of last year. That's how Europe is doing. But what about elsewhere in the world? Japan picked up the pace as well. And they saw the highest growth in more than a year, really driven by the service sector and manufacturing, just kind of steady. Okay, so they're really driven by the service sector. You're seeing that really across the globe. The service sector continues to do fairly well, while manufacturing, I think because of tariff uncertainty, it remains relatively stalled. Now, India led the BRIC countries. If you're talking about emerging markets, the BRICS, which ones are doing the best? India, absolutely, across the board, goods and services are doing the best. However, expansion did slow to a six-month low. So coming off a pretty high base, and that's why you see the Indian stocks have not done as well recently, because yes, growth is good, but it's not as good as it was 6 months ago. Their manufacturing slowed sharply, but once again, their service sector really picked up the momentum. In China, you're seeing the weakest growth since July. And a lot of this is that service sector, the lowest level since June. And that means weaker domestic demand. Now, what about South America? Brazil. Brazil is in a downtrend, although that downtrend is moderating. That's the positive here. Things are getting a bit better on the margins. So that's kind of where we're at around the globe. And the employment index around the globe is at 50.4. So overall hiring trends are still fairly weak. So not a whole lot of optimism on that front. And maybe it's because, right, AI is starting to enter the realm of business around the world. So that's the markets or the global economy right now. Hopefully it helped you understand. Remember, it's about changes at the margin. It's not the absolute number. It's the direction of travel. If things are getting worse from a high level, it might look like in an aggregate basis that things are doing well. But when growth is slowing, markets tend to adjust accordingly and vice versa. So make sure when you're looking at economies around the world that you're not just looking at the absolute number, but you're looking at the rate of change. Now, the next Invest Talk, we'll dig into this topic. The nation's unsustainable fiscal path. The national debt crisis is no longer a political problem. It's an investment bomb that will drive up your interest rates and throttle private sector growth. That story is for tomorrow. But for now, I'm Justin Klein. I'm ready to take your calls live at 888-99-CHART.
Justin Klein is here and ready to tackle your questions.
I've heard you say multiple times that you prefer shorter duration treasury bonds. Can you explain to me why it is more advisable?
Call InvestTalk, 888-99-CHART. Rain or shine, there's always value in the Invest Talk podcast. 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Justin and Luke. This is Matt in Miami. I had a question about the stock Contego, CTGO. I currently own a stock called Dolly Varden, which is a predominantly silver and gold miner in the Kitsibet region of Canada. And they're merging with Contego, which is a predominantly gold miner in Alaska. I was looking at Contego and they had quite the run-up.
It's a good idea for you to learn about NordProtect, an identity theft protection service you can trust. I've been looking into it and I think you should too. NordProtect is built to help users safeguard their identity with advanced automated features that work in the background 24/7, such as dark web monitoring, credit monitoring, and security alerts. NordProtect plans come with financial coverage across a wide range of threats, from identity theft to online fraud and scams, so their users are covered when it matters most. NordProtect is all-in-one identity theft protection that equips you with everything you need to keep your identity safe. NordProtect offers three types of plans: silver, gold, and platinum, so that every user can find the perfect fit for their budget. Getting started is simple. You just buy your plan and complete a quick setup. NordProtect comes with identity theft recovery and cyber extortion protection for your peace of mind. Get an exclusive 5% off on NordProtect plans. Go to nordprotect.com/investtalk and use the code investtalk at checkout. You can also find the link in the episode description. NordProtect.com/investtalk and use code investtalk.
This past year, as many gold stocks have had, but they actually look to be pretty profitable in the year going forward, comparatively to where the price is at even right now with their forward-looking PE. I'm curious what your thoughts are on this stock, Contego, and if I should maybe add a little bit more to my position going forward. It's not currently more than 5% of my portfolio right now with Dolly Varden, so just wanted to hear your thoughts. Thank you so much, and have a good day.
Looking at Contango Ore, and this is an interesting one because it's been consistently losing money. Currently does not look like it has much revenue. Let me see. Yeah, revenue, zero. But earnings expectations for this year and next year are supposed to be up considerably. In fact, next year earnings are expected to be $3.90. Now, is that because this is a junior miner where they're actually going to bring on production? One of those rare ones? Maybe that's what this is saying. That's kind of the only explanation I can think of. And so if you want to be forward-looking, which you almost always want to, then this looks pretty cheap. Now, I would confirm that's why this is actually supposed to earn money and not some financial shenanigans going on. But as long as that's true, that they're actually, that actually looks like they're going to produce raw materials and sell them and earn revenue, etc., then this would be something I would continue to hold on to, because $3.90, if it's achieved, would be pretty cheap because it's trading at $26.81, which would be, you know, still a mid-single digit multiple, which would be very, very attractive. Okay, so what, 7-8 times, call it. So I would hold it. I'm not sure about the merger, to be honest with you, but I'm focused on the earnings. I'm focused always on the business, the quality of the business. And if those earnings are correct, then I would continue to hold it. Thanks for the call. Let's keep things moving and play two in a row from 888-99 chart.
Good evening, InvestTalk. When writing options, I've found a few companies that have been successful for me month after month, at least for the past year now. And my question is about capital gains. If I choose to roll those options into the next month, and then after that, then in the next for over a year, and then finally close out of those positions, would those be considered long-term or short-term capital gains? You know, since I've rolled them for over a year, I'll listen on the podcast. And thanks as always. Take care. Bye.
They would be short-term capital gains. Doesn't matter if you're rolling it. Each option technically is its own trade, even though it might be in the same position. But the parameters or the, let's say parameters, the features of those options, expiration, strike price, etc., they're all different. And that means each one has its own CUSIP, has its own code that makes them different. And so you're not holding something for over a year. So it's definitely going to be short-term capital gains. That's one of the drawbacks there of selling options. That's why I like to sell options in tax-deferred accounts. I'm going to. And that helps bring in income to the portfolio without the tax implications, because it's all about when you take that money out, then you will pay tax. But in the meantime, that's why we like covered call strategies, especially in IRAs, Roth IRAs. That tends to be a good place for a covered call strategy. So good question, But remember, those are all separate positions. Now let's talk a little about the transportation index, and most importantly, the Dow Jones Transportation Index. Tracks 20 large companies from railroads to airlines. Now it's up 10% this year. And you say 10%, that's fine. But most of the broader indices are up much more than that. But what's most important right now, at least, is that not only is it approaching an all-time high, but it's notched the longest winning streak since August of 2020. And we know what happened kind of after that. The economy reaccelerated. And overall, you have to say this rally is a good sign. Airlines, trucking companies, railroad stocks, these are market bellwethers, and they're considered vital in moving goods and raw materials in the broader economy. And this kind of hits on Dow theory. And Dow theory says that when transportation stocks gain and the broader market confirms it, you are likely to see a bull market ahead. Now, we haven't seen that new high in the Dow Jones Industrial Average recently. That's what we're kind of waiting for. But you had the first pillar there. Now, what is this saying? Now, you could argue that this is saying the economy is going to reaccelerate. And you're seeing the moves in names like the Russell 2000, smaller cap companies. Those are also starting to outperform broader large caps in the broader market. And so in conjunction, that's saying the economy is set to reaccelerate. But you could also argue, and this would be one of my big arguments and something that's under-discussed and under-reported, is that the odds of the tariffs being shot down by the courts are increasing. And so is the market front-running that? Remember, whenever you see the headline, it almost always is priced into markets because somebody knows about it. Somebody probably smarter than you has a good eye for these things and starts to figure out what the market is not paying attention to. Remember, there are a lot of very, very smart people that work in this industry that have good connections, as well as just a good understanding of how the law works, how trends work, and can handicap these type of things. And so that is my best argument, even though I do agree with the fact that the economy could reaccelerate in the early part of next year. And I've said this for a little while now, that when the Fed goes through an easing cycle and the curve steepens as it has recently, that does portend to stronger economic performance in the short term because that gives banks incentives to lend. However, in this part of the cycle, that is usually the end of the cycle. Now, that doesn't mean the cycle is going to end tomorrow or next month or maybe even next year, but it's getting closer and closer. And I think a few months ago, maybe in the summer, I said we're in the top of the eighth inning. When it comes to this economic cycle, I think we're entering the bottom of the eighth now. And yeah, ninth innings, they can go on for a little longer than you expect, especially, you know, throwing those rally caps, things can really keep going for a little bit longer. But I think this is an interesting tell here that's going on that you have to really pay attention to. And if you're not paying attention to it, well, then you could be missing out in a big, big way. So I wanted to highlight this because it certainly is a news item that is not being discussed. And you always want to listen to the market. Don't think you're smarter than the market. Odds are you are not. And this message, in my mind, is speaking loud and clear that despite an economy that right now is kind of sputtering a little bit, this easing cycle will at least give a bit of juice to the economy as we enter 2026. Now, this is Invest Talk. Now, with more than 62 million downloads, we will tackle more questions in 30 seconds. So hang on.
Hello, investors. Lou Guerrero here with a quick heads up and an invite. This year, we're doing something brand new. The first ever InvestTalk Holiday Special. And it drops December 18th exclusively on our YouTube channel. It's going to be a fun end-of-year episode where we look back at the biggest market themes of 2025, highlight a few lessons we're carrying into 2026, and choose the caller question of the year, plus a couple surprises you won't get in our regular format. To watch the InvestTalk Holiday Special, head over to YouTube and search InvestTalk with two T's, or use the link in today's show notes. And while you're there, subscribe and hit the bell so you don't miss it on December 18th.
Good day, Justin and Luke. This is Matt from Minneapolis, long-time listener to the show. I'm wondering here with this merger or buyout or whatever here that Netflix is doing, I see the prices drifting downward in that. I don't know if I'm remembering this incorrectly, but many years ago, Justin, didn't you and Steve used to teach us or something that when some of these mergers happen like this, just to see what the best price is, and when they happen, you're better just to get out when that happens? And I guess what my question is now that I see Netflix kind of going down, am I better just to take the good prices here where it's at right now and just get out before it could drop further? That's what I'm wondering. So I'll listen for your answer on the show. Thank you. Have a great day.
Put simply, Netflix lost its momentum back in October, and I've been saying this for a number of weeks now. I think Netflix is in a downtrend, and it's not something to own, at least for a little while. Number one, it's just overvalued. It was. Now, it's certainly less overvalued, but still very overvalued, even based on current earnings projections going forward. And the fact that I think this is a tell. This Warner Brothers acquisition or attempted acquisition is a tell that they are struggling to figure out another driver for growth. And so, I think this is, it can't really turn out very well for Netflix. Either A, they pay too much for Warner Brothers because they're going to battle with Paramount. And, you know, there's obviously the current administration that looks to be butting into this merger and trying to separate CNN and all of that. And that's just going to get messy and become a problem. And once again, likely they will overpay for Warner Brothers. That's what happens usually with these big mergers. And then if they don't get it, well, that's good. They didn't overpay, but it also exposes them to a new stronger player or stronger from a content perspective player, at least. And it's shows that they don't have a lot of drivers, like I said, for new growth, new reason to raise their subscription prices, which they've been doing consistently over the years with success. But now you're at, what, $25 a month for the premium service? You're pushing up against basic cable rates, right? And I'm not sure how much further they can really go. They've done a good job of bifurcating their subscriber base to these premium subscribers, as well as those that are okay watching commercials and want the lower tier, etc. And they've been a pioneer there, just like they have in this space as a whole. But the history of Netflix says, you know, when the tide turns, well, it can go down pretty dramatically, just like it did in 2022, when it peaked out around $70 per share and then hit a low around $16 per share. And you're getting this, as I've said, if you go watch my videos on YouTube. I do this all the time. I do this, everybody should be watching those videos because I talk a lot about current trends. And what I did say was, I think it was last weekend, previous weekend, was 2026 might look a lot like 2022. And that's when Netflix fell that dramatically and multiples contracted in a big, big way. And there are a lot of investors like you that, you know, bought in and got good prices. And, you know, you don't want to be the last one out. You know, by the time that happens, that's actually time to buy it. So I think the downturn just started just a couple of months ago. I think there's much more downside to go, probably at least into the 60s, maybe even in the $50 range. That's probably where I'd be interested in Netflix, but not until then. So yeah, I would not be a holder unless you're willing to hold through the cycle. I would not be them. But let's answer another YouTube comment question. Mikey Chant says, wondering your thoughts on Costco at these prices, COST. Guidance has recently been lowered from concerns with renewal rates and year-over-year traffic. Yeah, this is a name we owned for a long time and recently sold in one of our strategies. A, because valuations just were stretched. They are stretched. They are expensive. We're talking about 47 times earnings. Yes, earnings are expected to go up next year. So maybe you're looking based on forward-looking earnings, maybe a 43 multiple somewhere in that range. But that is very, very expensive for Costco, which it's a fantastic business. We love the business, and that's why we bought it many years ago. But once you have a stock that is expensive and is losing momentum, you want to either be out or be on the sidelines. I guess that's the same thing. But ultimately, return equity 30%, return invested capital 23%, very, very quality business. But once again, now very, very expensive and needs to correct in a material way and is in a downtrend. It's been in a downtrend since its attempted breakout in June, and it failed over $1,050 per share. Now we're down to $60 per share at the close today. I think his head's well below $700 per share and probably have to get to $600 or so before I get excited about Costco. So I'd certainly pass on Costco for now. Thanks for the question submitted via our YouTube channel. This is InvestTalk. I'm Justin Klein. We have one goal here each and every weekday to help you achieve your own version of financial freedom. And our work continues after this final break. So get your questions in right now at 888-99-CHART.
For the holidays, KPP Financial is excited to introduce the Holiday Estate Bundle. When you begin a financial relationship with KPP Financial and complete your onboarding by December 31st, 2025, you'll receive essential estate planning documents as an added benefit. Learn more about the Holiday Estate Bundle now at investtalk.com. And while you're there, fill out a portfolio review to get started.
Hey guys, this is James from Georgia. I'm hearing that there's a lot of really good information about a ED drug called Cialis. How can I invest in that pill? I've watched a couple of videos, and they're finding out that there's multiple benefits for people that are 40-plus years old, aside from just ED, you know, and taking this drug. And so after hearing this, I'm thinking, good Lord, everybody needs to be taking this stuff. Maybe I need to see if it's just a good time to try to invest. If I wanted to invest, what would be a good price to try to buy in? We really appreciate the show. Keep doing the great work, guys. Thanks. Bye.
Well, thank you for the kind words. And from a research, it looks like Eli Lilly is the producer of Cialis. Now, one thing I want to caution anybody out there is to think that just because there might be more demand for one product or another, that it's automatically a good investment to buy into the company that produces that product. Number one, if that product is produced by a large company, most likely they have a lot of different products and it's one of many. And first off, you have to understand how much of an impact that will really have on the business, because that one thing could be doing great, but the rest of the business might not be. Or that one thing might be doing great, but they have much larger business that is doing something different, and that's really driving the stock. And I think that's the case with Eli Lilly right now, because this is more of a GLP-1 play. I believe it is Ozempic. They produce Ozempic. And so that's really driving the profits here. From $6.32 in 2023, it's supposed to make $32.43 next year. Now, that's a bit priced in, but the momentum is pretty good. So understand that it's probably not going up because of Cialis. It's going up because of the GLP-1s. And if GLP-1s falter in any way, either on pricing or demand or safety or anything like that, it won't matter what happens with Cialis for the most part, because that is not what's driving the stock right now. So be aware of that. understand that just because you like one product or one thing, or you're hearing some good things about something, doesn't automatically make the company investable. Now, in this case, momentum's good, earnings momentum's good, things are looking up for the company, but understand it's a bet on GLP-1s and not on Cialis. Thanks for the call. Now, lastly, let's talk a bit about bank stocks and the Fed rate cut, or more importantly, the fact that they are expanding their balance sheet again by $40 billion per month. And after the Fed announcement on Wednesday, the KBW Bank Index is up over 3% for the week, while the S&P 500 itself was down. And that's because, if, like I said, the yield curve is steepening, and that is going to help banks. Now, what's interesting here is that these commercial banks are not passing on these cuts to customers as much in a material way. Regional banks have passed along only half of the cuts to their customers, even though they've passed along 80% of the cuts to their depositors, meaning that they are lowering the rate that they're paying depositors by 80%, but only dropping the rate they're paying or they're getting from the loans by about 50% of the move. Okay. So that is why these banks are improving, because their net interest margins are improving as well. And Jerome Powell said that the Fed's security purchases may remain elevated for a few months, and they're trying to relieve near-term pressures on money markets, which means ultimately the translation here is we are monetizing the deficit. And that is inflationary. That is good nominally for the broader economy in the short term, and thus why these regional banks are doing better. So understand what this is, understand what is happening, and invest how the world is, not how you wish the world to be. So with that being said, I'm Justin Klein. If today's show made you think about your own financial picture, your strategy, your asset allocation, your retirement planning, whether it all is really working for you, I encourage you to head over to investtalk.com and schedule a portfolio review with myself or Luke, and we can help bring clarity and confidence to what you are doing. And please tell your friends and family about our free podcast downloads, which you can find anytime at iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play, and be sure to rate and review on iTunes as well. And remember that our first ever Invest Talk holiday special drops December 18th, this Thursday. So head over to our YouTube channel and subscribe. Independent thinking, shared success. This is Invest Talk. Good night.
Invest Talk is a trademark of KPP Financial. Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them. Specifically, nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell security. Because such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor firm which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Thank you for listening, and your comments and questions are welcome on our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART.